I'm Joe Wood, and I believe.
August 25th, 1951, Lubbock, Texas. Three professors from Texas Tech University are enjoying an evening outdoors. Doctors Oberg, Ducker, and Robinson are chatting about the day's events, when around 9 p.m. they notice a semicircle of lights flying above them at high speed in a V formation. Over the next few days, many more residents report similar sightings, including student Carl Hart, who captured the image on film. Whilst looking out his bedroom window, he too notices the lights and took several pictures of them on his 35mm Kodak camera. His photo is published by the Lubbock Avalanche Journal and later nationally, including Life magazine. The military claimed the sightings were a species of bird called a plover that reflected the newly installed streetlights in Lubbock. But after intense analysis of the photo, the authorities are unable to confirm it was fake, given that many people reported the lights, including several scientists. The bird explanation rang unsatisfactory.
Welcome to Alien Nation, the ongoing series about extraterrestrials and UFOs, which asks the question, are we alone? I'll be talking to celebrities and everyday people who also believe and who have their own incredible stories to share. We'll talk about well-documented cases, we'll examine the theories and the counter-theories, but mostly we'll just share our own personal experiences together. So get in touch with your own stories. I'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. My guest today is a poet, stand-up, playwright, screenwriter, and a children's author. He broke onto the scene in the 90s when he was the only poet to sign a £1 million record contract. Since then, he's performed at every major festival, including the main stage at Glastonbury, and headlined his own solo tours. His latest collection of works, How Freaking Zeitgeist Are You?, is out now. Welcome to the show, Murray Lachlan Young. Well, Murray, it's so good to see you, and thank you so much for coming in.
My great pleasure. Really good to be here.
Yeah. Well, tell me about, because you're an interested skeptic, and I'm really interested to hear about why.
Well, I mean, I guess what I wanted to say first is I was on my way over here, and I remember that I've actually had a UFO sighting, which is quite an interesting thing on a personal. And I don't know, it's a very strange thing when you've had a UFO sighting, and there's always feels like there's an apology that has to come before you say it, otherwise people just look at you like you're a lunatic.
And, yeah, I've had a sighting as well, and people think, well, Joe must have been out of her brain.
Yeah. And well, you immediately get put into a category straight away by people, and they're like, okay, well, obviously, you know, either some sort of weird narcissist or into psychedelic drugs, probably too much.
Yeah, the second one is always the one people think of me, but it wasn't. Mine was absolutely genuine. So tell me about yours.
Okay, well, mine, I was driving from Cornwall to London. Yeah. I was driving through Dartmoor and stopped just on one side of a little bridge right in the middle of Dartmoor, and was just sort of taking a break from driving and enjoying the scenery. And I looked up and I saw probably about 9 or 10 things moving in a close-ish formation very quickly at incredibly high altitude. And I checked my vision to see if there were flies or something. So that would give you the sort of idea of the size of them. So there were like these small flies, maybe a couple of meters away, that type of look. And I was like, no, these things aren't. And they were moving across the sky at quite a rate. And then suddenly they took off individually in these kind of erratic squiggles, and then just flashed completely out of the sky, and they went so fast that it was just, you know, there was no way it could have been a satellite or whatever it was, as far as I could see. But of course, you know, all I am is a person with a pair of eyes standing in Dartmoor, and who knows what it could be. But they were definitely, as far as I was concerned, UFOs.
Yeah, unidentified.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. I think that's fascinating because they always say that when you see something, an unidentified flying object, it always moves. You know, when you see it moves unearthly.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing that I can think of. But then this moves us through to these theories of the secret space program and stuff like that. Have you heard all about that?
Yeah, I've heard about the secret space program, and I've also heard that there's a whole thing going on the moon.
Yeah.
That's part of it. And
but the moon is a spacecraft.
I've heard that the moon is hollow.
Yes, I've heard that.
Yeah, and some vibration happens when anything's dropped on it. They get this
rings
vibration,
like a bell,
saying that it's hollow, so it wouldn't do that if it wasn't.
And astronauts saying that they've seen things that they can't explain going on there with light.
There's a recording I heard where the astronaut, I can't remember which one it was, he goes, there it is, something like that, because he sees something.
Oh, there's all sorts of stuff from various different astronauts, from pilots of long-haul flights, fighter pilots, all sorts of people have seen all sorts of things, and they don't ever really get made anything of. But the one that I found, I mean, kind of the most interesting, and you know, just from the idea of a narrative, it's just so far out there that it's just fabulous. Was the idea that, and I don't know whether you've seen the pictures of them, of the Nazi era German flying saucers.
Oh, I've seen that on Ancient Aliens, where they have built a craft. Yeah, they say that Hitler was taken away often in it.
It sounds like a Sunday Sport headline, doesn't it? Hitler found on the moon.
Yeah, in the hollow moon.
Yeah. But I mean, the pictures that again, the credibility of whoever's giving the information, you know, is something that will always be disputed, of course. But the pictures of these German planes, which had been built on this saucer design, and they've got the early ones clearly with motors in them and all sorts of different types of them, and they've got them landing and taking off. And I think what they were talking about is the idea of the stuff that's happening on the Antarctic all linking up with the Nazi-era space program.
Yeah, didn't the Germans go to look at some great big hole in the Antarctic?
Well, there's a couple of different stories, and they kind of link up. And one is that the idea is that the Earth was at a different position as far as its polarity went a long time ago. Yeah. So Antarctica was a tropical place.
Oh, yeah.
And there was apparently a battle between these two races of alien, which were supposed to have started humanity off with their experiments of being the lizard race and the longhead race, who had this battle, and the lizards kind of beat the longheads.
So are the lizards the reptilians?
And what many, many years ago, how the story goes is that they landed these vast spacecraft on Antarctica before whatever happened to turn the world on its axis. So Antarctica then became the frozen wasteland. And they say that Obama's been down there. The head of the Greek Orthodox Church has been down there.
Really?
Catholic Church have sent people down there. So there's been all this coming and going, allegedly, in Antarctica, and the thing that they found in there are these enormous spacecraft with smaller spacecraft within them that can, you know, these things are miles across. They're huge. And apparently what people have said is that they came from this battle, that there was a super planet not too far away from this one. And there was a battle and this planet was destroyed. The remnants of a race from this planet landed on Earth to get themselves together. And then the great freezing happened. Some of them got out and started the human race as we know it.
Yeah.
But the evidence was discovered by the Nazis, possibly through this hole in the idea of the sort of inner Earth.
Yeah.
They then found out the secrets that were within this craft and being many of the science evolutions that we have today, and also sort of remnants of the experiments that they did to create man in her current form. And from that came this technology, which has now reached a point where many of the alien spacecraft that are seen by people, it is argued, are actually man-made, and they are from this technology found in Antarctica. And that's one of the big theories out there.
Because they would have done reverse technology, wouldn't they, to sort of see how to make it, yeah. Oh, I would be very upset if it was all man-made that was flying around the Earth.
They were saying that there was a thing that happened over the White House. I don't know whether that's been discussed on your podcast or not, but there's a whole lights over the White House, and this was the remnants of the Nazi space program coming and showing that nobody can stop them, etc. Which sounds very far-fetched, but
well, I did see that Hitler was obsessed with UFOs and all that stuff. I did see that on a program.
The Nazis were obsessed by lots of things, weren't they? I mean, some of them are absolutely appalling, but I mean, they're scientific gains. And then, of course, you've got the whole thing, which is, what was it called? Operation Paperclip, where they took all the Nazi scientists over to America and gave them new identities. Hence, the ballistic missiles of today were all designed by...
They have to have had this knowledge from somewhere. It didn't just come, like, for hundreds of years we've been... You know.
Well, this is, again, goes into that theory where, and I can't remember his name, but the famous American admiral that took a battle fleet out to Antarctica and was completely destroyed by these sort of super craft that came out of the sea and all sorts of places. And they were this Nazi secret space program that destroyed the evidence, because apparently what they say is that after the war and the Nazis were taken down, and the people in the Antarctic, actually, they weren't Nazis, they were German patriots. So they were nationalists rather than Nazis. But they were still there after the war, and they had to go and sort of mop it up. And they gave the American battlefleet a bloody nose. And
really?
And I think that's where the significant interest, or a lot of the significant interest from America came, obviously from the existing ballistic missiles that they were using at the end of the war as well.
Gosh, it's all about fighting.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't
Who
it?
Who is stronger?
Yeah, and the speed of technology when people start wanting to kill each other. I think you then have the other people who theorise the idea of these alien races that came here and then formed the ancient wisdom that led to the Egyptians and the Sumerians, etc., etc. And a great deal of that knowledge was wiped out in the great deluge when half the world was flooded.
Yeah. The Egyptians, I think they were part alien because of their elongated heads, and they had things like, there's the Baghdad batteries. Have you seen those, where they're even drawn on the inside of tombs, and they're these batteries. And my brother always used to say to me about the paintings in the inside of the pyramids, why haven't they got soot all over the walls from where they would have had to use torches to paint?
Mm.
And I thought, yes, he's right. Why isn't there any evidence of that? So they must have had some form of light.
Well, I think the thing that all of this seems to be pushing at, in as far as, you know, the theorists out there who come up with the ideas that surround this whole thing, is that we haven't been told half of what has gone on before. And thousands and thousands of years back was a highly evolved
civilization. Yeah, our history has to be rewritten. That is one thing I really think, because I don't believe that the Egyptians actually could lift 250 tons to build a pyramid in that short amount of time. They worked it out. You'd have to lay a stone every 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean,
come on.
There's a lot of unanswered questions. And I think one of the major things that they say is that one of the problems always with this sort of archaeology and theories of ancient civilizations is that there are so many people who've published academic works on it, that if they actually start to seriously look beyond the ideas that they currently have, then their work will be discredited. So therefore, yeah, they have a vested interest to keep things the way they are. And that's what the people who are trying to, who come up with new ideas about the ancient civilizations, constantly put forward as the problem with people not listening.
Yeah. Why do you think that the governments can't be honest about what is really going on? Is it all about power?
I don't know. I mean, it's got to be about power, I suppose. But I suppose there has to be a reason. And I think some people think that the reason is just that people, I guess, have slowly built up this false premise for the civilization that we live in. And now it's got to a certain point where they can't turn back. Other people believe that it's very much part of the idea of power and control, which exists from the people, you know, called the lords and masters, the families that actually rule the world beyond the government.
The Illuminati.
Yeah. And the rest of them. And then you have the idea that that those people from those bloodlines, which I think is what David Icke talks about, are actually part of the evil alien group. And so for them to keep people in a state, to keep the wider populace in a state of...
It's all about control then, isn't it, really? It's all about controlling people. And I think that's where religion comes into it, because religion is a form of control. Don't do this, otherwise you'll go to hell.
Well, yeah, I think you then move into going beyond the physical realms of control. It's the next sort of theories that people are talking about is what Carlos Castaneda refers to in his books on meeting the shaman Don Juan, is the shadow dancers, who are these non-physical, interdimensional characters.
Oh, really?
That are supposed to... The idea is that the Earth actually is an energetic feeding station for non-physical, alien, interdimensional creatures. And this is held up in, you know, quite a lot of indigenous ancient wisdom as well, which is what the idea of Don Juan, who was a Yaqui shaman from Mexican borders, is that the idea that by implanting false memories into human beings, which they can control the amount of anxiety and create discord with the human race. All that anxiety is the energy that they feed on.
I've heard about this. What they really feed on is love, heartbreak, sadness, all sorts of things like this.
Not love, I think. I think the idea that it's negative energy, and then you sort of move back into the realms of power and control.
And that's what feeds them and makes them grow.
Yeah.
Whilst we
get caught in a loop, and when we die, we're told this story that we go up some corridor and find ourselves in front of a panel, including great Aunt What's-Her-Name, who says, and somebody who says they're Jesus, and somebody who says they're somebody else. And they say, well, you really screwed that up, didn't you? And you say, well, I guess I did a bit. And they say, would you like to try again? And you go, okay, I'll try again. And then you have your memory wiped out, you're born as a baby, and you go through being leached again by these interdimensional creatures. And this is what
would
be...
Because they need your negative energy.
Negative energy.
To feed them.
And then you move out into an explanation for that, which would be within the Gnostic tradition, which is you have the idea that there is the great unknowable source of sources, God, and then you have the thing which they call the demiurge, which is the mad creator God, which was a piece of the vast Godhead that broke away, cast itself into a void, and then decided to create this realm in its crazy perfection. And we are the result of that. And so then all of the crazy stuff that revolves around that, including the interdimensional beings which were created by this mad creator god, then create the discord on the planet, which is then expedited by people like the Illuminati, and we are the cattle. And that's that theory that runs through. I can't quite remember how that reverts back to UFOs, but
it was got to be. It's alien.
Oh, it's totally alien.
Yeah, well, totally.
Then who's the alien?
Who is the alien? Oh, yeah. Well, there's that other thing in Africa where Anunnaki created beings so they would dig up their gold because they needed gold.
Oh, yes. No, I've heard that one
as
well.
Yeah, yeah. So that's also another theory. I don't, you know, there's so many theories.
Well, this is the thing. And one of the really interesting things about all these theories is that you have the idea that, okay, so Joe Wood's doing a podcast on aliens, which puts Joe Wood into the nutty and harmless category, which David Icke is in the nutty but harmless category.
I'd like that. I don't want to be boring.
But the reason I'm saying that is that because you're into that area, then you're no longer taken seriously by people who, when you say, I'm doing a podcast on aliens at some dinner party you might go to, and they look at you and go, oh my God, I'd heard about
you're
this.
Right, Joe,
and it's true. But the fact is, it's
fascinating.
But within these different theories that I've been sort of rattling through, there are various different exponents of those theories. So what you'll have is people who they say are CIA plants who basically talk this stuff into a different place where people eventually go, do you know what? Those guys are talking absolute rubbish. This is complete nonsense, et cetera, et cetera. And then you've got the people who are closer to the truth. You've got people who are getting very close to the truth. Some people think that David Icke is kind of there, but has lost it and become a prisoner of his own ego. Some people think that he's absolutely on the money. One thing is for sure, David Icke isn't working for the CIA, but if you go through YouTube and you look at all the different types of people talking about alien stuff and stuff on the moon, some of it is preposterous. And apparently those are the people who are planted in there
to
destabilize the whole idea of this discussion.
So they throw that in there. So then suddenly it puts people in doubt of everything. And once people have doubt,
Then you're immediately labelable. And what do people like more than anything else is just to be able to, because there's so much stuff in our world, and for us to make any sort of sense of it and to come up with some sort of public consensus about what society is and what we believe and what we don't believe, it's so easy. You can just say, oh, that's a conspiracy guy. You know, Robbie Williams is mad because he's into aliens.
Yeah.
You know, Jo Wood's completely lost it because she's doing a podcast on aliens.
Yeah.
And people can then just categorize people.
Yeah.
And if you help them by putting people in there who destabilize the whole thinking process behind it, then that's the way that the whole thing is supposed to operate.
Yeah. I can see that very easily. I think that's fascinating. I think it's all fascinating. And I think we must be open-minded to everything and listen and learn and pick out what we believe and feel comfortable with.
Yeah, I think so. And I think a huge amount of the stuff that's going on is actually, there's a lot of people who make movies who are actually throwing a lot of the information.
In.
I mean, The Last Planet of the Apes apparently is supposed to be the sort of allegory of what happened.
I think it's fascinating.
and great to talk about.
I think it's fascinating because I love conspiracy theories. I love the alternative, you know, just to know the other ideas out there.
And why not? Let's not forget the amount of things that have been completely discredited for years and years, and now we take them as absolute truth, and we see them as our world doesn't exist without those truths, and many of the people were completely rubbished. So I'm not saying all of this is
true. Look at Tesla.
Well, exactly.
I mean, he was brilliant genius. They say he had an alien mind, or he could connect with aliens. He used to do lots of meditation and get his ideas through that. And I thought they ripped him off terribly, didn't they?
Yeah, and
very sad.
And so many people as well. Yeah. I mean, the one who I think is the interesting guy from that whole sort of lineage is Dr. John Dee, who was known as the Queen's conjurer in the Queen Elizabeth's occultist. he actually came up with the phrase of the British Empire, and he was trying to create the navigational stuff that would take us to the New World and enrich the British Empire. But his big thing was trying to communicate over vast distances by the use of angels. And you can go to the British Museum, and his scrying stone is in there. So this piece of black stone, which you look into, and there you're supposed to be able to cross into interdimensional boundaries.
Oh, how fabulous!
And there's some amazing stories with him. He had this guy came in off the street who had no ears, and they reckon he was maybe a disgraced Catholic priest. And there were a lot of conjurers, even though it was illegal in the time of Elizabeth. He came in, and John Dee decided that this guy could communicate with angels.
Yeah.
And so he started trying to communicate over huge distances by the use of angel, I think, Michael and Gabriel. And all of these, this guy was going, I can see him, he's in the room. But the hilarious part of it was that there's this one point where this guy, imagine you're this sort of old Elizabethan gent living in a nice house off the Thames. Queen Elizabeth pops by every now and again to get her tarot done.
Yeah.
And then you've got this guy with no ears living in the spare room who looks like a complete lunatic. And one day he goes, oh my God. And John Dee says, what? And he says, the angel has said that him and John Dee have to wife swap. And they do.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, so then eventually he's driven out of the country and he goes off to the Low Countries and he leaves this. And he'd been searching for the Book of Enoch, which is the first book which God spoke to man through, which has subsequently been found, I think. But he left this library and a lot of the books were stolen. But a great library was founded off his incredible collection of books, which is not really good enough, but from information-wise. But there you go, a bit of interdimensional, earless wife swapping.
Oh, my God. Or maybe they all were aliens.
Well, I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? I mean, how many people are aliens and they don't know they're aliens?
I want to be an alien.
Well, apparently we're supposed to have a certain part of us which is alien, which is the implanted bit, which is the bit where, so your voice, that if you're having any sort of difficulties and there's a voice in your head going, do you know what, you're an idiot and nobody likes you, or whatever it might be, that bit which is, you know, can start off as just self-criticism and end up in mental health difficulties.
Yeah.
In some theories, that is the implanted part of ourselves, which is the thing which is supposed to bring the discord, which can then be fed on by Don Juan's shadow dancers. And
Murray, it's so good to see you. Before you go, what are you up to?
Well, I am doing my weekly poem as resident poet for BBC Six Music on Sean Keaveney's afternoon show, which is, so just keep tuned into that.
Fabulous. What, you do a poem each week?
Yeah, I've been doing it for about... Yeah, a new one each week.
Oh,
I've been doing it for about 10 years now.
You must have thousands.
I know. I think I've got just about enough for another book, actually. And then I've got a new poem, which is a 6,000-word rhyming verse, sort of family-friendly thing called The Mystery of the Rattlesham Mumps. And I've just got funding to turn that into a stage performance.
Oh, how fabulous.
And we're putting that on at Easter, and it's going to tour, but it starts in at Wilton's Music Hall in London, which I'm sure you know.
Yes. Oh, that's fantastic. That is really good, because I loved your Keith poem.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Keith and the Coconut Tree.
Got a great story about that for another time.
Okay, all right. Well, you have to come on my other podcast about rock and roll.
All right.
All right. Thank you so much, Murray. You're going to leave me with a poem?
Yep.
Great.
Ere since man first cast his eye through star-bound glass to magnify and dared to question what and why, to call out to the boundless sky, one answer that has thus eluded ever since it first protruded, shrouded by the mocking stars. Could there be curry on Mars? Could there be, could there be, could there be, could there be, could there be curry on Mars, nestled in a shady crater? Maitre d' and several waiters, velvet benches, water features, serving all the hungry creatures. Could there be curry on Mars? Balti Buna, biryani, Danzak dal and Falkahari, Madras, Musalman, Jaipuri, Korma, Rogan, Josh, Tandoori, Tablas tapping out a raga, Barman handing out the lager, Sith and Jedi popping over, hotter than a supernova, Tika, Vindaloo, Nentara, Jalfrezi and Dopiaza, Kofta, Pasanda, Achari, Masala, Pathia, Shazni, traveling through the time and space, fighting to reserve a place, a new part of the galaxy where mango chutneys always free. Oh, could there be, 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 could there be curry on Mars?
That's our show for today. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please rate us on whatever platform you get your podcast from. It helps people like you find us. Today's show was produced by Mike Hansen for Pod People Productions. Associate producer Colette Cooper, and recorded at Hackenbacker Studios by Jamie Allen. Theme music by Mike Hansen and Jamie Allen. Special thanks to Nigel Heath and our narrator, Mike Hansen Sr. If you want to share your stories, we'd love to hear from you. Just email info@podpeopleproductions.co.uk. Subject matter, Alien Nation. Beam me up next time. I'm Joe Wood. And I believe.